You're now listening to the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast with hosts John Olealofsson, Steve Pardetti Wygant, and Casey Hendrickson.
Once again, broadcasting live from the 2015 Midwest Rep Rap Festival. I'm a moderator, if you will, Casey Hendrickson, for the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast, which is available anywhere you get your podcast from. And we've got a panel of four individuals. We've got Johnny Russell, we've got Shane Graber, Lars Brubaker, and Sanjay Mortimer. And this is segment two. So we've got some questions from the audience. Thanik is asking, as far as software tool chains, modeling is a big hurdle for people using 3D printers. How can we get more people over that hurdle? First one of you up out the gate gets it.
Well, I'll talk a little bit about that because we're on the software stack. And I think that, you know, we see important tools like Autodesk has Tinkercad. That's a great tool to get people introduced to doing modeling. But I think the problem with all of those tools is that they're at way too high of a level. The majority of people honestly do not want to become 2D artists or 3D artists or CAD designers. And that doesn't sound like it's, you know, really creating the best experience, but I think the best experience that we can actually deliver is getting a large body of very customizable, in very tiny ways, designs, so that we can build designs that let you modify the specific things you need. So just as an example, if you had a chair leg, like these chairs here have a little plastic button that goes in the bottom of the foot. If we could bring you a design that all you could change was the size of that design, and then it's going to print out accurately, that is so satisfying and successful for somebody. And there's millions of these kinds of ideas where we could just make very small design spaces that allow you to achieve results where you get just what you want. And so that's something that we're working on, and something I'm super excited about personally, is building constrained design spaces where you can successfully actually achieve a result. I think if you guys have seen the game Spore, there's a creature creator in there, there's building creators in there, and they allow you in a constrained design space to successfully model a creature when you have no modeling skills. And that's the place I think that we really have a big opportunity.
Jay Zotopa says that I believe that we are quickly reaching a point where we can build anything that we set our minds to. Because of this, I think the question we should be asking is not what can we make, but what should we be making and why?
I think we should make whatever we want. But like, maybe. But the point is that it doesn't matter what, like, what should we make, what shouldn't we make, is that people with, like, you know, the demon's out of the box now. People are going to make whatever they want. So, like, with all due respect, I almost feel that from one end of the question is somewhat moot. So when we talk about certain people that, you know, go out doing certain things that might be deemed immoral with 3D printers, that's something we have to come to terms with, it's something we have to deal with, and that's not something we can deal with legislation. That's not going to work. Like, again, the genie is out of the box. You can print your own printer, you make your own printer. So we have to deal with that as a society, and it's not going to work through legislation or like some kind of DRM. Like, it's just not going to happen. And so as a society, I think we need to say, like, some bad things are maybe going to happen. How do we stop them happening on like an educational front like that? And I think one of the best ways of combating that is like taking up and running with like what are amazing things to do with 3D printers from the other end. And Enable's obviously a great one, and there are tons and tons of other ones, and I've gone off on a bit of a rant, but I kind of wanted to get that bit in there.
Is there something else out there besides, you know, the printing of limbs and things like that for the needy that maybe the 3D printing could really inject itself into that could be considered a global ill or a global cause or something like that? I know water purification always comes up, food always comes up. Is there something else that maybe 3D printing could throw its weight behind that maybe we're not throwing our weight behind right now?
Well, I think I mean, 3D printing limbs is fantastic, but we're literally 3D printing organs, and that's going to be unbelievable when you can, we've seen an example of a 3D printed liver, or not a liver, but a kidney, and that wasn't a real functional kidney, but we are approaching the state where we're going to be printing literally heart valves, full hearts, kidneys, livers, anything that you can inject stem cells and tell them what to be, and that's going to change the world in a way that you can't even imagine when you can take your stem cells, 3D print a new lens, and get it stuck in your eye when you're 50. and you can see again, that's ridiculous. And that's the future that we're talking about, and it actually comes through 3D printing, which is just bizarre.
Kidneys and livers are going to come in handy after tonight. Ross. Ross asks, what do you see being an open platform, the open platform pieces that need to exist? I'm a degenerate. Need to exist to create a solid consumer-friendly ecosystem.
Can you say that again?
Please.
No.
All right. I'll try to remember.
What do you see being the open platform pieces that need to exist to create a solid consumer-friendly ecosystem? Well, this thing keeps coming up. We keep going back to the consumer. We're all getting it, but there's still a lot of people that need to be introduced.
At it, and then hopefully you guys can just pitch in. I think one of the most important things that we've seen and is happening still is that the filament needs to be available from a lot of sources. These machines need to be able to consume standard filaments, and we need to continue to have manufacturers making standard filaments for the diversity of printers. And I don't see a real way out of that right now. I'm sure that some of the proprietary companies would like to do that. But the range of specialty filaments at this point is too fantastic for that to be a big advantage at this time. It's better to have a printer that can consume anything.
And Shane, somebody coming into a relatively young field to the consumer market on this, Steve was asking, what are some of the biggest barriers to open sourcing your products? Is it licensing fees for software, things like that? What are some of the biggest barriers you guys are running into?
For open sourcing our resin formulations?
Yeah. Anything. I just picked you because you hadn't said anything.
I'm not sure how to answer that question, to be honest, because I don't really foresee us open sourcing a resin formulation per se. But that said, Autodesk certainly open sourced their resin formulation, and I've actually looked at it in the lab, and it's a working formulation. It would work on multiple printers. So if somebody wanted to start doing something like that, that would certainly be a good starting point for them.
What about some of you guys on the software side of things? I mean, what's the biggest hurdle you guys are facing?
For us, it's firmware. So we are constantly butting heads with firmware. Like we've got a lot in the pipeline with like advanced sort of extrusion systems, and we are having to hack, chop, and change firmware. And I don't know if that for me means that we need to like hire a firmware developer, but then I look at the firmwares around us and I see that architecturally they're incompatible with the things that I'd like to do in some ways. I think there's good progress being made in many places, but I still think that the firmware and the stack and the way that the stack communicates needs a lot of work. So how we go from a slicer, or even before that, like you start with a file format, STL, which is a terrible file format, and then you put it into a piece of software that composes your print, and then it goes into another piece of software that turns that into G code, and then it goes down to perhaps another piece of software that sends it to your printer, and then the piece of software on your printer turns that into motions and things like that. Like that really sucks.
And so that's what we got to fix.
Yeah, maybe there needs to be some. I don't know how you fix it, but okay, it needs to be fixed.
But it's a barrier. There's no doubt about it. Okay. Let's see. How do you think that IP and patent law will affect the future growth of RepRap? That's from Andy.
Well, sadly, IP and patent law has a long tradition of damaging things. So I will reveal my bias here tremendously. We often say, patent law is going to get a lot worse before it gets better, and it's certainly gotten a lot worse. But it's a terrible virus that's just horrifically damaging to innovation in this country. And there's no other way around it. It is just terrible. The company shut down ridiculously trivial ideas by saying it's mobile or by saying it's on the internet. And it's starting to happen in 3D printing. And you can't get out of facing those lawsuits. That's the real problem, is they're used as extortion. And there is no way to prevent yourself from being extorted.
Is it time for the 3D printing and the maker community in general to have a really strong lobbying arm?
That's actually probably the right thing to do. Honestly, that's the place to influence it.
All right. What do you see as the biggest issue that needs to be solved to advance 3D printing that your company is not working on? Johnny? into the microphone.
Can you read it one more time?
What do you see as being the biggest issue that needs to be solved to advance 3D printing that your company is not currently working on?
Yeah.
It's a rough question.
Software.
Software?
We are slightly working on software, but like Sanjay said, the software tool chain is that's pretty clearly the barrier to adoption for the mass majority of people.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'd certainly like to see software improved for that, especially for the resin printer rep folks. I mean, essentially we have one version that we can use, which is Creation Workshop. That's pretty much it for the rep wrappers. I mean, the Form 1 has their own software. B9 has their own software. The Make XM1 has their own software. And they're superior than what we've got right now for rep wrap, DLP or laser. Based resin printer. So that would be something I'd really like to see some work done on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we do software, and that's what I want to do, and that's where I want to do it. I mean, the hardest part for us, to just skip to that subject for a second, is that we're a commercial company that pays developers to write things, and so we have to find ways to pay them. And it's really challenging. All of the opportunities that we would like to satisfy aren't necessarily ones that we know how to make money at. So that's the biggest thing that we try to do, is figure out how can we advance the open source community and the open standards printers and still pay our guys. But yeah, I think there's tremendous opportunity. And the thing that I think that we're not working on that I wish we were is integrating more completely with manufacturers to get more sensors on the machines, to have the machines be more auto-calibrating and self-calibrating. And we're doing some of that, but I think there's big opportunities, like continuously measuring the diameter of the filament as it's entering the machine, checking if the machine is out of filament, automatically pausing and restarting the prints if there's a failure. There's a lot of things that we will be doing.
The basic gripes of anybody using the machines,
You and I mean, we need to talk.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Sanjay, you want to wrap up?
Yeah, again, I'm going to whinge about software, but I'm going to sort of be a bit more constructive. Like, how do we fix this? Why do the problems exist? Like, the open source tool chain has its problems, and in open source software, the fun problems get solved really quickly. Like in Slicer, they just introduced a feature where you can have like this awesome like multi-dimensional infill pattern where you can apply a clipping pattern. You can get like three-dimensional hexagonal infill. It's amazing. But sometimes when you change the values in the boxes and you click on a new tab, like it overwrites the thing. It's been like that for like five versions. It's not a fun problem to go back through the code base and fix that problem. That's why it's not been fixed, right? There's no one like that who's there. It's like, you're going to get fired from this project if you don't go and fix that bug in there. So I think we need to look at incentive structures and how they're set up. And I think that having bounties would be an appropriate one, because I would, you know, sign me up for $5 to fix that problem. Probably half the people in this room as well would like that problem fixed.
Yeah, I kick it in too. Absolutely. Guys, we do appreciate it. Once again, I want to thank Johnny Russell, Shane Graber, Lars Brubaker, and Sanjay Mortimer for joining us. We do appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. And again, I've been your moderator, Casey Hendrickson. You can download the See Me CNC Printed 3D podcast anywhere that you can get your podcast from. They're available at all the standard fare. And of course, this will be available, we hope, by next week, if not earlier. There'll be a video up there, hopefully on YouTube at some point this weekend as well, of the event. We do appreciate it. And again, make sure you support your local rep wraps and your makers, folks. Thank you for supporting the 2015 Midwest Rep Wrap Festival. We do appreciate it. You have a great afternoon and great evening.
You've been listening to the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast. To learn more about See Me CNC's lineup of 3D printers and accessories, visit seemecnc.com.